Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you on this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Glenn Lungarini. He is Executive Director of the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. Good morning to you, sir.
Hello, Aaron. Great to be with you today.
Thanks for joining us. Well, the CIAC is out with its guidelines for high school fall sports, and we will get to that. But first, I'm wondering if you can just recap for us the past 18 months plus. I remember being at that protest back in March of last year when you had to make the call about spring sports. A lot has happened since then.
What a difference a year makes, I think. And, you know, even at that time, what a difference 24 hours makes, right? When you were at that protest again, we were out in front of calling an end to the seasons, knowing at that time that the best thing we can do to stop the spread of COVID was to not bring people together in mass events. And so we acted on the science that we had at that time. And, you know, a day later, the NBA shut down. 2 days later, the NCAA and then virtually the entire sports world. And by the next week, when we would have been playing our semifinals and championship events, the entire state of Connecticut was in distance learning for the remainder of the school year. So, you know, in hindsight, again, we worked on the best information we had at the time. I think we made the right decision, and we try to use that as we move forward, just putting kids at the center of our decision making. And we're fortunate today that we have enough data, enough evidence. We know how to play sports safely, even though COVID numbers are a bit on the rise. But we're grateful to be back on the fields, in the pools, and in our gyms to give kids great sport experiences.
How difficult is that for athletes and their parents to have their season just ended so abruptly like that?
You know, sport brings out a lot of passion in kids. And I think when, you know, we look at extracurriculars, and we have to keep in mind that interscholastic athletics is an education-based experience. We build on the curriculum that kids experience throughout the school day and extend that into their interscholastic sport experiences, as well as all of their extracurriculars. And when you think back to high school, you know, it's oftentimes the band teacher or, you know, the color guard instructor. It's your coach, the person who is the chair of student council or National Honor Society that, you know, you really develop those meaningful relationships with and become strong adult mentors for us. And that's also where I think we develop some of our closest peer relationships. So outside of the competition and wins and losses, I think what our kids missed the most was that connection to their school, their community, their peers, their trusted adults to help them through this time. So it's critically important that as we return to in-person instruction, we also return to these extracurricular activities that are so important to our kids.
Now, you had to end things abruptly in March of 2020. Remind us how last school year went when it comes to high school athletics in Connecticut.
You know, we had a great school year last year. We were able to play the majority of our sports. The exceptions to that, we did not have an opportunity to play competitive 12v12 full contact football. We also did not have the opportunity to compete in wrestling. But all of our other sports, we were able to get out and compete. And, you know, that was important. We had mitigating strategies that we put in place. We collected a significant amount of data from the fall, the winter, and the spring seasons. We were able to put those mitigating strategies in place that the data showed did what it was supposed to do. We were effective in significantly reducing the spread of COVID. We had very little transmission due to interscholastic athletic events. And when we returned to spring championships and ran our state championships this past spring, we had over 700 events from all of our state tournaments that we ran in the spring. And in those spring tournaments, we did not have one team nor one athlete quarantined during that time due to COVID. So again, I think we've done this in a way that we have learned how to do it safely.
Now, tell us about the game plan for the fall.
We're excited. I mean, we're on the field right now. We had a football started up with their full conditioning this past Monday. So, we are a week into football at this point, and our kids have pads on this this weekend, and they're ready to start putting in their offenses and defenses. So we're excited to see football back, and all of our other sports will start on August 26th. Important things to know from this, when we're indoors, so that's really volleyball is the indoor sport right now, as well as swimming. But volleyball, we're going to be wearing masks while we play. We have a state mandate in place that requires masks within schools, and we're going to comply with that in our competition. We played with masks there in the fall last year in volleyball. We played with masks in the spring, including state championships with volleyball last year. It did not impact the game. And so we know we can do it. We know we can do it safely. And so we're going to play in masks indoors with volleyball. Swimming, we'll wear masks around all activities outside of the pool. Of course, when we're in the pool, we're not going to wear a mask while we're swimming. But in all activities around that, because it's an indoor activity, we'll be wearing a mask. Outside, we don't need to wear a mask outside at this point. Again, we're aligned with recommendations from the CDC and the Connecticut Department of Health that while we're outdoors, it's not necessary to mask at this point. We will continue to collaborate with the Connecticut Department of Health, the Connecticut State Medical Society Sports Medicine Committee, and update those guidelines if necessary. But we're going to start the seasons without without masks at this point. And then the other important thing, I think, from our fall guidance here to really pay attention to is the advantages to getting vaccinated. Again, vaccinations is the number one mitigation strategy that we have right now to keep our kids active in in-person instruction and active on our fields of play. If a student is vaccinated and they are identified as a close contact of a COVID positive person, they will not be required to quarantine as long as they remain asymptomatic. So that means they're not going to have to miss days of classroom instruction, and they're going to be able to stay on their fields and play alongside their teammates if they've been vaccinated.
What's the definition of close contact?
That's determined by the local departments of health. I believe the CDC guidance at this point is within 3 feet for 15 minutes or greater over a 24-hour period. I believe that's the CDC definition now. I'm not positive on that, but that's what I believe it is at this point.
Now, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but with growing concerns about the Delta variant, how confident are you that you are going to be able to complete the fall sports schedule in its entirety?
Yeah. We expected this. Again, I think there was probably some wishful thinking, you know, out there that we would get to this year and COVID would not be something that we're dealing with. But we never approached it that way from the CIAC standpoint. You know, we understood through conversations with our medical experts from the Connecticut State Medical Society Sports Medicine Committee that this is a virus. This is something that wants to live. It adapts. It has going to have multiple variants. And this is going to be something that's going to be with us. So our responsibility is let's find out how we can engage kids in a safe manner. And that's what we've done. So I am confident that we're going to be able to continue with our seasons. And we plan on full seasons. We plan on having state tournaments. Again, this is what we anticipated. We'll continue to collect data, continue to closely monitor it. As long as we're still seeing those relatively low transmission rates from interscholastic athletics, we keep with the mitigating strategies. I do believe we're going to be on the field to play right through our championships.
I know you've always had the ability to consult medical experts when you're making policies for high school sports, but since COVID hit, have you added additional resources? Do you have more places to turn for guidance now than you did before this?
Well, before this, we didn't collaborate as much with the Department of Public Health because most of what we were dealing with was very specifically sport related. The Connecticut State Medical Society Sports Med Committee has a very diverse group of doctors and medical experts on their committee. It includes surgeons, it includes pediatricians, it includes epidemiologists. So, we always had access to a wide variety of medical experts when we were talking about sport-related injury, concussion management, you know, anything that was specific to sport. As we've, you know, really dealt with COVID over the past 18 months or so, again, this is not a sport issue. This is a public health issue. It's a global pandemic. So with that, we certainly have engaged in collaboration with the Department of Health more so over the past 18 months than we would, you know, pre-COVID.
How closely do you look at what other states are doing when it comes to high school athletics?
Constantly, Aaron. You know, we have a weekly meeting of the Section 1 executive directors from the National Federation of High Schools. It's the NFHS, and that Section 1 includes all the New England states and New York and New Jersey. So we meet every Monday morning, and we discuss with each other what's happening in our states and how our seasons are going. And then in addition to that, the National Federation, which is led by Executive Director Dr. Carissa Niehoff, holds meetings throughout the year and collaboratives for us to speak with our colleagues from across the country to get an understanding of how different parts of the U.S. Are faring in terms of playing sports and, you know, how we can learn from those around us as well. So it is an ongoing collaboration. At both on the local and national level.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Glenn Longarini. He is executive director of the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. Glenn, how are student athletes holding up? It's been trying these past 18 plus months. You know, you take distance learning for a lot of these students and then add on the uncertainty of whether or not you're going to be able to play.
Absolutely. And I think they're doing remarkably well considering the adversity that they've been challenged with. And, you know, I see this firsthand. I have a high school age daughter myself. And, you know, so I certainly understand the, you know, what is missed at the high school level and what our kids are experiencing from, you know, firsthand account there. But I'd say just even last year, once we got our kids back into playing, into sports, you know, looking at those state championship events last year and the smiles on their faces, how meaningful it is for them to be back with their teammates and be able to share those experiences and build on those relationships. And we're seeing it now, Aaron, as we're, you know, back to football and we're in those practice sessions. Now, if you stop by a high school field, you just see pure joy. Our kids are just thrilled to be back with their teams, their coaches, playing games that they love and getting those high school experiences that they unfortunately missed due to the pandemic over the past 18 months.
Now, athletic directors and coaches were already wearing a bunch of hats before COVID, and now they've had to add the public health hat to that list. How are they holding up?
You know, I think athletic directors have perhaps the most thankless job in the education system. They are out there every day, most times well into the evening, sacrificing times with their own families to make sure that the kids within their schools are getting the best experiences that they can. And we just really have to thank our coaches, our athletic directors, our athletic trainers. They have done such an exceptional job going above and beyond to bring great experiences to our kids. And, you know, we've continued to hold frequent meetings with our athletic directors throughout the state. We were doing this weekly at one point. Then we moved to biweekly, and we do it a little more infrequently now, but we're staying, you know, with these conversations at least once a month, where we're checking in with our athletic directors to make sure they have all the resources that they need to be successful in their programs. But they have just done a tremendous job adapting and making experiences possible for kids. So, you know, when you see your ADs out there at the schools and on the fields, you know, please take the opportunity to say thank you to them. Again, it's something that isn't said enough to our ADs in normal circumstances, and they certainly deserve an exceptional amount of credit for the work they're doing now.
Are there any policies that have been adopted during COVID that are going to remain afterwards?
You know, that's a good question. We don't see an end to COVID anytime in the near future. So, you know, that that review, that conversation hasn't happened, you know, too much. I think, you know, the return to play protocols that are in place for COVID right now, are something that certainly is kind of stood the test of time, where other mitigation strategies or other policies have changed. Understanding the impacts of myocarditis and having a return to play protocol that cares for that for kids is something for us to think about and talk about as we move past potentially the need, specific COVID need for that. Because again, that myocarditis effect could happen with any virus. And so, you know, there's discussions about, some of the medical pieces that go along with that. But, we'll look at those as we go along. But most of the other mitigation strategies that we put into place last year, some of those have even been reduced this year. So we're not changing any of our rules for playing this year. You know, right now, like, you know, for example, in lacrosse, girls lacrosse last year, we had a modified face-off, and boys lacrosse, we had a modified face-off. We're not doing those things, planning any changes to rules for the fall.
You mentioned that mask wearing went pretty well last sports season. Did anything have to change? Did student athletes have to take breaks? I can't imagine, you know, keeping a mask on for an entire game or match and it not getting kind of hot under there.
Yeah, we did have some mask breaks in there. So in the winter when we played, you know, every 4 minutes of play, we had a mask break in hockey and in basketball. So it's, you know, the probably best correlation to that is, you know, from a college level or pro sports level, is almost your TV timeout, right? So when you have those plan breaks in there, so coaches knew it was coming, kids knew it was coming. When you had that stop of play scenario around that 4 minute mark, you know, we gave kids mask breaks at that time. And sports like volleyball, where it's not highly aerobic, it's an anaerobic sport, to begin with. So we didn't see, as much of a struggle or concern with any aerobic breathing in that sport. But even with that, we added 30-second timeouts that teams can take or officials can issue to give kids a mask break if necessary. But again, our kids did fantastic, with wearing the masks and adjusting to that. And I think we see from our kids is, you know, they just want to play. So if we can put a mitigation strategy in there that keeps them safe and keeps them on the field, they're willing to adapt to that.
Revisiting the issue of vaccines, some student athletes have taken one, some have not. What are you hearing from them in terms of whether or not they are eager to get a shot or not so much?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a good response of the high school age demographics in Connecticut who now have been fully vaccinated, and a good response from kids who have at least gotten that first shot. As we get back to school, we do see some of our schools, I think Bloomfield High School is a great example here, where they have set up a vaccine clinic that will run at the beginning of the school year. So I think September 3rd, I think they'll be people on site to issue kids vaccine shots if they'd like to get it. And then, you know, that follow up 2 weeks later. And that model is being replicated by a number of schools across the state. We ran vaccine clinics in conjunction with our track and field championships last spring, our baseball championships, our tennis championships. So, we've been promoting the vaccine since our kids have been eligible to receive it. And for the most part, I think we're going to see a fairly high percentage of our kids get the vaccine. And again, we just feel that that is the best way we're going to keep our kids in in-person instruction and the best way we're going to keep our kids on the field to play.
Has the pandemic posed any challenges in terms of getting athletes to where they need to be to play? I'm talking about transportation, school buses, things like that.
At the beginning last fall, it was a challenge. And so we made adaptations last fall where we created tighter regions where teams would play within. So that served a couple purposes. One, it significantly reduced travel and helped with school bus situations to be able to get kids to and from events. And the other thing it helped with last year is, again, without the vaccine and without much knowledge in the fall, it helped us keep our teams in those smaller regions. So if there was an outbreak, if we were seeing numbers spike up, we were able to shut things down within a region, and it didn't necessarily affect kids across the state. So if you had regions of the state that were doing very well with COVID metrics and an environment, you know, they were able to continue playing. As we go into this year, the mask requirement for our schools, and I believe the CDC, the federal requirement, requires masks on public transportation right now. So that would include school buses. So we would need to mask while being on school buses. But other than that, we don't have a limitation. So, you know, we do expect that transportation will be much better this fall. And it was pretty good last spring. So by the end of last year, we weren't seeing as many challenges as we were at the beginning.
I'm sure you've already been aware of it, but talk about what you've learned during the pandemic in terms of the passion that exists among athletes and their parents and others for high school sports in Connecticut.
You know, that passion has always been there, and it's the reason why I think, you know, coaches coach and athletic directors are in the profession that they're in, and certainly we're in the profession we're in. You know, I've enjoyed sports since I was a kid. I was fortunate to play at a CIAC member school when I was in high school. I was fortunate to compete in college, and then fortunate enough to coach at the middle school, high school, and collegiate Division I level in the sport of baseball. So, you know, I've seen that just, you know, through my passion of sport and growing up and sharing those memories with my teammates, and then being able as a coach to share in those memories and relationships with kids as well. And, you know, I think the one thing, regardless of what sport you play, that I do believe holds true, when I meet with former players or some of my old teammates, you know, we really never talk about the wins and losses. And, you know, I was fortunate to play on a team that won the national championship in 1998 in baseball. And, you know, we really don't even talk about the championship game much. We talk about the practices, the time in the locker rooms, the, you know, the memories that we shared with each other. And that's what our kids miss, that time together that, you know, I think we value, you know, we value it when it's happening. But I think all of our kids, our coaches, we've all learned very important lesson to really enjoy those moments, because we never know which moment is going to be our last out there. And that really drove that message home for us. And I think for our kids, our parents, again, they want what's best for their kids, and we want to give it to them in a safe manner.
What message do you have for parents in our final minute in terms of making sure that student athletes stay healthy, not only physically, but emotionally?
You know, again, the best thing that we can do is educate ourselves. It's a very personal decision about whether you're getting the vaccine or not, but educate yourself and really consider if you're age eligible for that vaccine to get it. That's what's going to keep your kid in the classroom. That's what's going to keep them going to prom in those school events. And that's what's going to keep them on the field to play. And those interactions with their teammates is what's going to help their social, emotional, physical, mental, cognitive well-being. So if you can get vaccinated and stay in the game and stay in the classroom, that's going to be what's best for our kids.
He is Glenn Lungarini, Executive Director of the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Aaron. We look forward to seeing you on the fields, and we wish everybody a great school year. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.